my dog tried to kill me the other day.
Nice.
Super fun.
You would be a feast that would last for weeks.
Well, you know, and it was very strategic. It was almost like it was a cartoon. Like, so my dog is by far the most toy-obsessed animal we've ever had in the house.
Yeah.
Like, it loves toys. And it often chews on these big, hard bones that last, you know, for a long time. Well, it's at the top of the stairs. And I totally recognize it's at the top of the stairs. Like, I need to be careful. Well, I go to step over. Did you switch mics, by the way? Because now mine's the one that just randomly falls.
I don't know. I just show up. Maybe it falls on how interesting the story is.
Yeah. Well, so it's chewing on this bone, and I'm going to step over the dog. Now Jeff's missing the microphone. But he goes, I go to step over the dog, and I literally, as my foot's in the air about to hit the first stair going down, I watch its paw just basically kick the bone.
Oh, no.
The bone goes right under where I step my foot in the perfect angle for it to roll under my foot. I fell down about 5 stairs.
Oh, my.
Thankfully, I went down, like, rear end first. But, like, I don't know if you can really tell on the lighting. Like, my wrist banged up against
the
railing.
Yeah, you're black and blue.
Real bad. Like, thankfully, that's – I also banged this elbow up a little bit, too. I don't know what I hit on that side. But, like – I saw my life flash before my eyes. I'm like, oh, this is how I die. My scrawny 25-pound dog slips a bone under my foot on the way down the stairs. And I'm done.
It's time for a new dog, Joe.
You know, other than its attempt to kill me, this actually has been the best dog we've ever had.
Yeah, it's time to get a new dog.
Well,
my dog weighs 200 pounds.
No, I totally understand.
My dog wouldn't bother to go upstairs.
Yeah, but see, like, you and I balance each other out. Like, I'm a big guy with a small dog. You're a medium guy.
kind of a chubby guy with a big dog.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, it's that dog has been actually really, really
good. If you throw a ball for my dog, he's like, yeah, you should go get that.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll back over here.
No,
and
our
take
dog
it
does daily zoomies at least twice.
No.
Just the full on.
Brutus doesn't want to get winded or sweaty.
No, that sounds like, never mind. Okay, so
yeah. He takes a lot after his master. He's like, hey, that walk is long.
That's gonna involve.
We're gonna walk all the way to the end of the driveway. Can we get in the truck?
Oh my goodness, this I'm gonna have to like prop this
I'm
up.
I'm telling you, see, Joe's having microphone troubles, everyone. And I feel like he deserves it for mocking me all those years.
That's pretty much who I am.
No, there's no fixing it. Just give up. Lower your expectations right now.
Lower the microphone? I mean, expectations.
It'll do that itself.
If I don't move right now, it might stay. We'll see. Well, we are here for something else, and it's probably not just talk about dogs and microphones.
Mm.
So thanks for joining us, everybody. We are here on the Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue podcast. I am Joe Caruso. Super glad you're here. A lot of voices out there, whether it's news, social media, comedians, or friends. It's tough to know what to think or how to make decisions. We just want to help you sort through the noise and there goes the microphone again, and think through things in a way that allows us to cut through the mixed messages around us and find the way of Jesus. So let's get into it.
All right.
If I suddenly kind of, it's not our producer's fault, and it's not even necessarily my fault, but my mic is on the run. It's on the limb.
Lowering.
It's still so good.
Here, I'll help you, Joe.
That'd be great.
I'll hold it in place.
You know, I'll just pretend like it's a handheld.
No,
you know,
I got
like
it. Yeah, I got you.
I don't know that I trust you.
I'm trying to help you
this
out.
This microphone's going to hit me in the nose. It's going to back away. You have a reputation.
Don't worry, Joe.
I'm not. I got a hold of it, too.
I'll help you.
Well, our listener writes in today, also looking for help, hopefully help that he can trust Jeff and I with. He says, I listened to you guys' conversation together when it says that the Bible wants us to love God and to fear God. I think I understand the awesome magnitude that is God and how reverence for that awesomeness is like a lot like fear. I thought your conversation might address 1 John 4:18, which says there's no fear in love. How do we reconcile that? In other words, the scripture talks a lot about having a fear, a reverence for God, And then it also says there's no fear in love. How do we put those two things together?
Yeah, so the when the Bible talks about the, like, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, those kind of things, what the Bible is using that word fear in that sense, you kind of alluded to it, our listener did, in that sense of reverence and awe. When the Bible talks about the Lord, it is in that context that I respect, that I'm aware, that I respond to his holiness, his magnitude, all those kind of things. When the Bible says that there's no fear in love, it is talking about a relational fear. So I love Heidi. I'm not afraid of what she's doing today, and I have no idea what she's doing today. You know, I haven't talked to her all day, but I'm not afraid that she's deceiving me or being unfaithful to me or whatever, because the love that we have for each other eradicates that kind of fear. So the way that you combine those two things together, it's a really, really interesting question. And the way that I would tend to think of it is I would think of it as a father's love. And some of us did not have good relationships with our earthly fathers. Some of us did. I did. And so I would process this through, like, my relationship with my dad and maybe my kids' relationships with me. I was talking with my son, one of my sons one time. He was a teenager. And I said, hey, I told him to do something. I need to clean your room or help your mom, whatever it was. I was like, I need you to go do that. And he looked at me, and he was half joking, and I took it as a half joke. But he looked at me, he goes, bro, I don't have time for that. And we were kind of laughing. And I looked at him, I said, first of all, I'm not your bro, I'm your father. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, he was like, are you joking? I was like, not really. Like, you don't call me bro. Right, I'm your father. My relationship with my dad would have been like that. I had a reverence for my father. I was not afraid of him, but the fear of my father was the beginning of the blessings in my life. Mm-hmm. So when my father gave me counsel, I tended to listen to him. When my father said no, my dad was one of those dads that you kind of stopped in your tracks when he said no. My father disciplined me, which our Heavenly Father does. My father guided me. My father lived a life that's worthy of, like, emulating, all those kind of things. So I have had and have a reverence, a respect, a biblical, like, fear of my father. But my relationship with him is not defined by fearfulness. Mm-hmm. So one of the gifts my father gave me is I am 100% confident that my father loved me, and I'm 100% confident that my father's proud of me. He communicated that to me again and again, and what he required of me gave me clear parameters to be able to please him. And so I knew that I was pleasing my father. I was not kowtowing to him, but I knew, like, my father would, I knew, for instance, my father wanted me to be a man of integrity. So by having integrity, I knew I was pleasing my father. My father had a work ethic. I used to tease my kids that I was going to give to them for college what my father gave to me for college, a strong work ethic, right? So he didn't really pay my way, but I'm like, I knew how to work. Well, I knew when I worked hard, it pleased my father. So it wasn't unhealthy. It wasn't dysfunctional. I wasn't trying to earn his approval, but I knew what meant something to him. I knew what disappointed him. So I knew I was winning or losing with him. Because I feared him, I respected him, I lived in awe of him, I wanted to please him, and when I failed, mm-hmm. I was completely confident in his love for me. Mm-hmm. So a story I've told before is I got grounded one time. My dad had a rule that if I got a speeding ticket in high school, I was not allowed to start my car for a month.
Wow.
And I mean start it. So my parking spot was under the basketball hoop. Mm-hmm. And if I wanted to play basketball, I drove a stick shift. I had to put it in neutral and push it down the driveway. And then I could put it in neutral and push it back. I wasn't allowed to touch my keys. So I got a ticket. I learned my lesson, right? So so our driveway was like that. Well, my dad, I had rearranged the cars one time to play basketball. And my dad said to me, he said, when I'm done, he goes, put your car in the garage, just kind of getting it out of the way. And he said, pull my car forward. Don't leave it where it is. I said, okay. I was playing basketball. And I go, okay. He goes, Jeff, he said, listen to me. It's, we have a crowded driveway. Put your car in the garage and my car, pull it forward. I said, okay, I got it, Dad. And he said, okay. So I went to bed. I got up the next morning to go baseball practice, got in my car, never moved his car the night before, forgot, didn't care, backed out, and what he thought would happen would happen. You, it's like a blind spot. I kind of forgot it was back there, and I hit his car on the front driver headlight, and I went the distance to the back driver bumper. The all, ooh, both doors, everything. Ooh. I mean, just, I went the distance on his car and my car, uh-huh, which was his car.
Right.
So now I have to decide what to do. So this is what I did. Because I did not have a fearful relationship with my dad. I had a fear of my father, an awe, a respect, but a security and love from him. When I messed up, what I did was I went to him. I woke him up. I was like, Dad, I just trashed your car. I knew I was going to be in trouble.
Sure.
But I didn't think he was going to scream at me. He was going to hit me. Right. And he handled that in a very, very godly way. So I have a fear of my father, mm-hmm, in a biblical sense, but I'm not afraid of my father because love pushed out that fear.
Sure.
And my respect and the honor that I have for my father is what caused me to go confess my sin to him. His life of grace and mercy and compassion to me is what caused me to know that he would love me despite my sin, mm-hmm, even with consequences, which he gave me consequences for things. I don't know if that helps, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think in some ways that story helps us understand probably what John means in 1 John 4:18, where he's like, perfect love drives out all fear. You knew that he wasn't going to destroy you because you knew he loved you.
Yeah.
And so that relationship is there. Do you think, Jeff, though, that maybe our culture uniquely struggles with the idea of fearing God? Because, like, I think culturally we have a hard time with authority almost in general.
Yeah.
And so if it's not, I'm supposed to run away from God because I'm afraid of him, but it is more of like, I fear him to the point that I would be like, for instance, willing to bow before him. I mean, there's just not many examples. And at least in our culture, people are like, oh, I respect that authority so much. I would, like, back when this was written and even in plenty of other places around the world, like bowing before a king or, you know, kind of being subservient to those in charge, it's almost a no-brainer. We missed that. Do you think that that's a part of why this is so hard to grasp?
I think it's a part of it. So you're asking me, do you think a culture born out of rebellion against a king has trouble honoring a king?
Thanks for catching the segue.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. And I probably take a pride in it too. We are natural born rebels, mm-hmm, in the United States. You know, it's literally just who we are. So I do think there's some of that. I think there's another step now where we are so independent that we can struggle with being arrogant. Mm. And the idea that someone would come and tell me what to do is so offensive to me that I will miss the truth of what they're saying. I don't know if you've ever seen like these reels on TikTok or Instagram, but where like the police officer is waving a person down and they go around the signs and around the cop. They're like, I got to go to work. And they drive into like a marathon. Oh. They drive in. I'm like, that's arrogance. It's like you have an authority that is trying to protect you and other people, and you're so consumed with your own life that you have no fear of that authority. That is very much our relationship with God sometimes. We are so used to God's grace. God is so gracious, so merciful, so compassionate, and we're so used to it that we abuse it. And then we're shocked when God allows consequences into our life, or when we find out things like he's going to judge the world.
Sure.
That there is a real place called hell, that there is consequences for our sins. And not living in the fear of the Lord is that if I take it back to that illustration with my dad, if I was a teenager, it was like, dad's an idiot, dad's dumb, I'm rebellion. The lack of fear for my father would take me out from under the protection and the blessing of my father. Mm-hmm. It actually makes my life hard and miserable because I will not respect it. And the scripture will call that a hard heart or a rebellious heart. And that changes our relationship. So the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. So if I approach my father with a rebellious spirit, now my father is opposing me because he loves me, because that spirit has to be broken or I'm going to blow my whole life up with it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Many times people come to me over the years, you too, and they're like, where's God? I have these horrible things going on in my life, and you'll say some version of like, tell me the backstory. Mm-hmm. Well, the backstory is nothing but rebellion. Mm-hmm. And I have said more than once in so many words, this is not a God issue. This is a you issue. Mm-hmm. God wants to bless. He wants to give, and you don't respect him enough to hear his wisdom, or to place your life in a position where he can actually be for you as opposed to having to oppose you in the process.
Yeah, I've been more and more fascinated lately by just the simple words in Exodus 34 that say, God's willing to lavish his unfailing love to the thousand generations and forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. And so often we think to ourselves, well, I haven't directly defied God. Why is my life a mess? But those three words in that passage are meant to break down, like, when we mess things up and accidentally make a mistake, the stuff that's inside of us where we crave what we know is not healthy, and when we rebel against people, ourselves, or God. And so when we think back to, like, how many times I've made well, to a certain degree, you did both. You rebelled with the car by not moving it,
right.
And then you made an error by not checking your mirrors right and backing into it. Like, so the morning of, you're like, I'm going to show my dad and I'm going to back into his car. Like, no, of course, there's lots of times where we don't make rebellious decisions, but our error still causes major consequences.
Yeah.
And so, like, what God is trying to help us understand is, like, if you'll fear me, if you'll listen to me, if you'll heed me, if you'll follow me, I will not only spiritually on the Jesus on the cross resurrection level begin to weed that stuff out of you, but I will also help you stay in a pathway that you're avoiding more and more of those consequences.
Yeah.
I love this, Jeff, because I think that, like, when we can begin to realize that, like, Jesus's love for us is what causes us not to have to, like, run away from God and fear God as followers of him, we still have, I think, the great opportunity, if not command, to continue to realize just how great and powerful he is for us.
Yeah, I think in our culture, with our nature, it would serve most of us well to get on our face before God.
Mm-hmm.
I think in a healthy way, we mostly talk about the compassion, the grace, and the mercy of God, because those parts of his character are kind of the forefront of his interaction with us.
Mm-hmm.
But grace is not to be abused or taken for granted. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very healthy at times to focus on the holiness and the righteousness and the justice, what the Bible calls the wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the it's good to look and remember that Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead because they violated the holiness of God. It's good to remember that God did judge the world through the flood and Noah. It's good that there were consequences to David's sin, not because God would threaten us or accuse us or, you know, dangle consequences over our heads, but for us to remember that that holy God is loving toward us. If I don't have a sense of God's holiness and his justice and his truth and his righteousness and his wrath, I don't wind up having a good sense of his grace, his mercy, and right. his compassion, because I will think, most people do think this, most people, including myself sometimes, I think God is overreacting to my sin.
Mm-hmm.
So I underreact to it. It wasn't that big of a deal. And God's like, you know, it's a big enough deal that it cost me my son's life.
Right.
So it's a big deal because I am a holy God and your sin is egregious to me. And I'm a loving God, so I gave my life to give covering to your sin. And I think we have to keep all of that in its proper perspective in order to see kind of a holistic view of who God actually is. Mm-hmm. And from them, a holistic view of how we actually interact with him.
Absolutely. Well, I kind of hope that some people ask some follow-up questions to this. I think there's some good ones in here. If you need to pull me aside later in the lobby or something, you listeners, like, go ahead. I'll hint what questions you could ask. but we got some really good ones in here. And if you have questions, maybe it's a follow-up to this or something else that you'd like us to tackle, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. Send them our way. Also, don't be a stranger. If you're enjoying this podcast and it's been helpful to you, you know, tell a friend about it, but also subscribe, follow, rate, and review. That kind of helps the algorithm get this out in front of other people and helps other folks find this resource. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend as we all pursue this loving and yet awe-striking God, whether in person or if you're checking us out online. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us.